blasters, games, and books.
We'd like a Star Wars poster, please.
Home theater. The more of a success that The Force Awakens is, the more of a success that the merchandising will be.
I really have no time for anything else.
If you didn't know that a new Star Wars film is coming out in December 2015, then you may be living in a galaxy far, far away. After all, the new film is everywhere, with new toys on shelves, movie trailers online, and even Campbell's soup cans in your local supermarket. But this merchandising is nothing new for Star Wars.
Careful, Luke! We've got company!
In fact, it's just the latest example of how the original film franchise revolutionized filmmaking and changed the way Hollywood movies make money.
I was always able to see it as more than just a movie. I came at it first through the back of a cereal box instead of at the theater. That was when I first learned the story of Star Wars.
That's Chris Taylor, and he's the author of the book How Star Wars Conquered the Universe, the past, present, and future of a multi-billion dollar franchise.
The total dollar amount through the movies, through the prequels, the books that are made, the toys, is there like an actual dollar amount that we could say, this is how much Star Wars has made?
Yes. The best estimate that we have, based on the numbers that are already out there from, you know, what was a privately held company, Lucasfilm, is roughly in the region of $42 billion. $42 billion. And $32 billion of that is from merchandising.
From Kenner's Star Wars collection, large-sized Darth Vader with his lightsaber.
You had Kenner, which was making money hand over fist with the toys, and not just the action figures, but all sorts of toys, blasters, board games. The Factors t-shirt company back in 1977 that produced these very quick, almost knockoff style t-shirts. You had the Wagneroff jewelry firm that made little items of Star Wars jewelry.
And it doesn't stop there. Star Wars sold you underwear.
It's underoos.
Star Wars Boba Fett is here. That means Darth Vader's always near.
Fast food.
Hello, welcome to Burger Show.
We'd like a Star Wars poster, please.
I knew it.
Cars. And although this may not be officially licensed, Star Wars even sold you Japanese tuna.
And then you have on top of that the roughly $4 billion that Star Wars has made at the box office, $4 billion for home theater, which includes VHS, DVDs, and then pretty much everything else is games and books.
And that includes what Disney has done ever since it bought the Star Wars franchise from Lucasfilm in 2012 for a little over $4 billion. But not every piece of merchandising worked out for Star Wars. Anyone remember the Star Wars holiday special? You know, the quasi-variety TV special that aired on CBS just before Thanksgiving and after the first film was released? It was chock full of all the things you dreamed about. Chewbacca's backstory, a probably high Princess Leia, and Bea Arthur singing a pub song at the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Just one more rhyme, friend. Yes, it's a crime, friend.
There were a number of items that were supposed to come out after the Star Wars Holiday Special. There were action figures based on the Wookiees that form a big part of the Holiday Special. There were, you know, books on the Wookiees. I think a lot of that was scaled back when it came out. But no, Lucasfilm thought that was going to be big. If you look at the original scripts for the Holiday Special, it was going to be a bit better than it turned out. It just ended up in the hands of a couple of variety producers who made it way more cheesy than it was intended and flipped the story around, so it was basically unwatchable.
Speaking of unwatchable, how about all those prequels? Don't they count as failures too?
Me say no, think so.
They're all profitable. Someone went to see them.
Episode 1 was the one that has made the most money.
In pure dollar terms, yes, unadjusted for inflation, Episode 1 made more money. Interestingly, it made most of its money abroad. So consider the fact that what most people hated about the prequels was, you know, the stilted dialogue.
Anakin, Chancellor Palpatine is evil! From my point of view, the Jedi are evil!
The lack of good acting. None of these things can you see, you know, if you're watching it internationally, if it's dubbed, if you're looking at subtitles.
That may sound like good luck, but it speaks to the innovation of the franchise. Innovation it developed after the first movie hit theaters, back when few people thought Star Wars would be a hit, and even fewer thought it would make money on, of all things, merchandising.
Movie merchandising did not make money. It worked for TV franchises like Star Trek. It was not expected to work for Star Wars.
And it almost didn't. The process of making toys took so long that Kenner ended up selling cardboard versions of their toys at Christmas time, with the promise that they would arrive later.
They'll be sent to you at home between February 1st and June 1st. The Star Wars Early Bird Certificate Package, new from Kenner.
You know, they took so long to ramp up their production that by the time the toys actually arrived in stores, supposedly we thought Star Wars would be out of theaters. Of course, as it turned out, it was there for a year.
So then what was different about Star Wars? How did it change the movie industry as far as merchandising goes?
Because it stuck around for so long, it actually meant that you could get the merchandising to consumers while the movie was still in the theaters, which was huge. And that had not been done before.
Sort of because of the fans.
It was because of the fans, and it was because there was this incredible repeatability to it. And there was a cult. Almost immediately, there were local entrepreneurs who came along and made t-shirts. This was the era of making buttons, right? Making buttons at home, little button entrepreneurs. So immediately, May the Force Be With You became a button. And that was very much a sort of, you know, oh, do you understand this? You're in with the hip crowd.
What about the underground merchandising? You mentioned buttons, but also people made their own costumes. People made their own fan fiction. People made things on their own because they were fans of what was going on, whether they wanted to sell it or not.
And Lucasfilm really wanted to encourage that at the start. The only part of the traditional fan fiction side of things that they looked askance at was the slash fiction, which is basically fan-written porn. This had been huge in the Star Trek community, but otherwise, other than that, they used the power of the fans right from the beginning.
That power is on full display with the R2 Builders, a group of amateur droid engineers who make their own R2-D2s and share their work online.
But they tend to spend, on average, I'd say about 10 years on each R2-D2. I mean, it is so meticulous. They're in their garages, you know, honing their metal domes and just trying to get every detail accurate. But in so doing, and in being so obsessed with that goal and tinkering with the R2-D2s, they became so much better than Lucasfilm at building an R2-D2. So they were actually tapped by Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm, to create the R2 that will show in The Force Awakens. So again, you know, treat your fans well and you get this tremendous, not quite unpaid labor, but you get a little skunk works.
What kind of Star Wars do you think we'll expect from Disney?
I think Disney is very, very smart in the way that it approaches its subsidiaries. If you look at the way it treated Pixar,
which was originally owned by
George Lucas, still calls it my company, but Pixar was treated like the crown jewels. They could make whatever they want to make. Same was true of Marvel. We almost don't think of Marvel as a Disney subsidiary. And really, the same hands-off approach has been taken to Lucasfilm. There's a very much a, it ain't broke, so don't fix it. Let the nerds who are in charge of the franchise stay in charge. Mm-hmm. Let the guys in the story group figure out, you know, where all the bits of the universe go. You know, I think Episode 7 has the distinct potential to be the highest grossing film of all time. And I think the interesting thing about this is it all feeds into the other parts of the Empire. So the more of a success that The Force Awakens is, the more of a success that the merchandising will be.
You know, you just referred to Disney as the Empire.
They are. I mean, it's, you know, but then Lucasfilm saw itself as the Empire as well. I mean, Lucas would often refer to himself as Darth Vader, and the Lucasfilm headquarters was known as the Death Star. But yes, when the Mouse House moved in, I mean, that is a real empire. You know, no question about that.